It always amazes me how the Lord works things together and prepares our hearts for the message from His Word. I've not heard that song before, right, Angie? Okay, I always tell Angie, I said, boy, I really like that song. It's a new one. I never heard it before. She said, oh, yes, you have. I've sang it here before. Pretty song, pretty message. And it goes right along with what I want to talk to you about this morning. I want to tell you how my sermon came to be. Three instances that happened this week. Monday and Tuesday, I went to Charlotte. I was coming back Tuesday afternoon. We were supposed to land in Flint at 8 o'clock. Well, because of a series of circumstances, we missed our plane in Charlotte. Was late, and we missed our connection in Detroit, and so I didn't get home until about 1 o'clock on Wednesday morning. But it was of the Lord. I mean, I've been reading the story of Joseph again this week, and when he told his brothers, he said, hey, you didn't send me into Egypt. God just used you to send me into Egypt. God sent me here. And God had us delayed because I was traveling with a guy, a friend from work, who he lost his father. We prayed for his father about 6 months ago. He had cancer, and he lost his father, and we ended up having dinner together at the Detroit airport. And he was talking to me about his mom, about how his mom had given up hope and was just talked about dying all the time. And he shared his heart with me that it was beginning to affect him. And I reminded him as we ate our hamburgers together that because there's a God in heaven, we ought never to give up hope. Because we have a miracle-working God, a God that loves us, as Angie reminded us just a second ago, we should never give up hope. Wednesday, I went to Minneapolis. I had to be back at the airport at 6 o'clock the next morning. And so I flew to Minneapolis, and I got there, and we had a meeting. And about noontime, my cell phone went off, and it was my boss. And he said, I need you to get somewhere so we can talk. I said, okay. And he was in Baltimore all week with his mom, and he's losing her. And she's given up hope. And we didn't talk as boss and employee. We talked as friends. And I reminded my friend about the God that we have in heaven, a God who sees everything that's going on and knows what we're going through and loves us and strengthens us and gives us what we need to do what we need to do. And then, when was it, Al? Thursday night? Friday night? Thursday night? I can't remember. Al called me. We talked a little bit on Tuesday night because he'd gone to the doctor. I think it was Friday night. He called and said, preacher, my cancer's back. Got to start chemo again on Monday. And I reminded Al about the kind of God that we have. A God that knows what's going on in our life. And a God that can do the impossible. A God that can take what man says can't be done and do it very easily. So this morning, I want to preach a message I'm entitled, I Believe in Miracles. I believe in miracles. We read from Acts chapter 2 where it says, ye men of Israel, hear these words, Jesus of Nazareth, a man approved of God among you by miracles and wonders and signs. The word miracle in the King James Bible comes from a Greek word, which is our word for dynamite. That's what the word miracle comes from. It's a power. It's a might. It's a strength. It's the same word that's used in Romans 1:16, where the Bible says, for I am not ashamed of the gospel of Christ, for it is the power of God unto salvation to everyone that believeth, to the Jews first and also to the Greek. And miracles are, as it is in this verse, are often talked about in the Bibles, in the Bible as a sign. And that word sign comes from a Greek word which means a token or a wonder. Somebody counted them. I've never counted them. Next time I read the New Testament, I'm going to count them. But somebody counted them and said there are 35 miracles of Jesus that are recorded in the Bible. And again, I don't know if that number's right, but I know that he probably worked a lot more miracles than that, because in the book of John, chapter 20, it says, "And many other signs truly did Jesus in the presence of his disciples, which are not written in this book, but these are written that ye might believe that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of God, and that believing ye might have life through his name." That verse tells us why Jesus worked miracles and why we got a God that works miracles today. They were done, and they were written down that ye might believe that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of God, and that believing ye might have life in his name. That's why Jesus worked miracles, so that people could understand who he was. They could understand that he was God. And because they saw the miracles, they believed that he was the Savior, and they put their faith and trusted him and got saved and are on their way to heaven. Now, by the way, as a byproduct of those miracles, Jesus did a lot of good in this world. He healed the lame. He made the blind to see. He made the deaf to hear. He brought dead people back to life. He fed thousands of people with just a few fishes and a couple pieces of bread. I mean, you go down the miracles and you read the miracles. There were a lot of people helped. But the main purpose that Jesus worked his miracles for was so that people could see the power of God that was delivered through him to this world and know that he is the Savior, that he is the Son of God, and come to him so that they might have life. That's why God worked miracles in the New Testament. And by the way, folks, that's still why God works miracles today. It's not so that we as a church can take pride and say, "Oh, hey, if we pray for you, you're going to get better." That's not why God works miracles. Why God works miracles today is so that we can point to him and say, he hasn't changed. He's still a God that works miracles. He's still a God that takes care of people. He's still a God that does the impossible so that people can come to him and believe in him and might have life in his name. This morning, in the next few minutes, I want to mention six miracles that I believe in. Six miracles that I believe in. Number one, I believe in the miracle of God's Word. I believe that the Bible, this book, which we hold in our hands this morning, is a miracle from God. I believe in the miracle of its inspiration. The Bible says about itself, all scripture is given by inspiration of God. And that's in 2 Timothy. And 2 Peter, it says, for the prophecy came not in old time by the will of man, but holy men of God spake as they were moved by the Holy Ghost. I believe that this book was dictated by God. I believe that he used human authors, 40 of them or so, but that God spoke to them the very words that he wanted recorded in this book. I believe when he wanted a punctuation mark, a comma, or a period, or that's the only two I know, but the other punctuation marks, the Bible calls them jots and tittles. I only know when to pause and where to end. I don't know nothing else about English. But when he wanted a punctuation mark, God told them where to put it. And I believe that God wrote this book himself. We hold in our hands the Word of God. I believe in the miracle of its inspiration. I believe in the miracle of its preservation. In Psalm 12, the Bible says, the words of the Lord are pure words, as silver tried in a furnace of earth, purified seven times. Thou shalt keep them, O Lord. Thou shalt preserve them for the generation forever. In 1 Peter, but the word of the Lord endureth forever. And this is the word which by the gospel is preached unto you. I believe that God not only wrote this book, but that he has preserved it, and that we have in the King James Bible the exact word of God that he wants us to have. That's why the Bible can say in the book of Exodus, man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceedeth out of the mouth of God. God would not say that unless we had available to us the very words that proceeded out of the mouth of God. And I believe that this book has everything that we need for today. I believe that this book has every bit of advice, every bit of counsel, every bit for every situation that we need today. It never grows old. I've read it through 7 times already this year. I've started my 8th and 9th time. You say, and every time I say that, I always worry. Somebody's going to think, well, why are you bragging? I'm not bragging. I'm just telling you from my own personal experience that this book is new every day. It's new every hour. You say, I can't read it. It grows old. Oh, no. You're not reading the same book that I am. It never grows old. It's as fresh today as it was yesterday, as it was last week, as it was the week before that. I believe in the miracle of God's word. Number 2, I believe in the miracle of God's creation. His creation. In Psalms 19, the Bible says, the heavens declare the glory of God, and the firmament showeth his handiwork. In Psalm 139, the Bible says, I will praise thee, for I am fearfully and wonderfully made. Marvelous are thy works, and that my soul knoweth right well. I don't believe in a second. I don't believe any part of it. Any thread of evolution is true. I believe in the Genesis chapter 1 account and chapter 2, where God made man and woman from the dust of the ground and breathed into them the breath of life. The miracle of creation. I don't believe in this big bang theory, where something exploded out in space and the world came together, and then some in the murky soup of that new world, there was a little amoeba that grew a little bit bigger and then hopped out, or became a tadpole and then hopped out and became a frog and hopped again and became a monkey and swung around and became a man. Now, I think there are people that go backwards. But I don't believe in going forwards. I believe that every little baby that is conceived is a creation of God, is a gift from God. And I don't have time to chase the trail this morning. That's why I believe abortion is a sin. We are putting ourselves in the place of God and taking a life that he ordained. Just let God be God. Let him be God. But I believe that every single one of us was a divine miracle of God when he made us, when he created us in the womb of our mother. I know it took Dad and Mom. I know all that. But I believe, again, that every little child that's conceived is a miracle of God. Walking one night this week up in Hudson, Wisconsin. That's where I was the last part of the week. Clear sky, stars, hundreds of stars. Hudson's not a very big town, so you can walk just a little bit and be out of town and out of all the street lights and stuff like that. Hundreds and hundreds of stars. And I was reminded of that part in the Bible where it says, God knows every one of them by name. He knows where they are. And I thought, he knows every one of us by name. He knows where we are. He knows what we're going through. He knows the trials and heartaches of our life. I believe in the creation, the miracle of the creation. Number 3, I believe in the miracle of the resurrection. I believe in the bodily resurrection of Jesus Christ. I believe he lay in the grave for 3 days and 3 nights. I believe that just like Jonah was 3 days and 3 nights in the belly of the whale, Jesus was 3 days and 3 nights in the belly of the earth. Adam read it in verse 23, or verse 24, whom God hath raised up, having loosed the pains of death, because it was not possible that he should be holden of it. Death couldn't hold him. The grave couldn't hold him. I mean, you've heard me say before, I think when he was crucified and laid in the grave, Satan rubbed his hands together and said, I got him. It's over. No more. The plan of salvation is done. But 3 days and three nights later, when that stone rolled away so the world could see that the tomb was empty, Satan knew beyond a shadow of a doubt that he was done. The last chapter had been written. He arose from the grave. He stands today as a living Savior. We don't worship a God that's still in the grave like everybody else does. We have a God that's alive today, and he's in our world today. You ask me how I know he lives. He lives within my heart. I believe in the bodily resurrection, the miracle of the resurrection. Number four, I believe in the miracle of salvation. In the miracle of salvation. I stand before you this morning, saved on my way to heaven, and I want to tell you something. That's a miracle from God. I was a dirty, lost sinner, headed for hell. There was nothing I could do to clean my life up. There was nothing that I could do to get my sins paid for before the holy, righteous judge of all the universe. I was hopeless. I was helpless. I was headed for an eternity in hell with no hope. But Jesus loved me. He died for me. He paid the price for my sins. And when I knelt down before that red vinyl couch in my pastor's study, and I told him that I was a sinner, and I knew I was headed for hell, and I believed that he died for me, and I received him for myself, my name was written in the book of life in heaven. That instant, I was born again. I became a child of God. I didn't quit being a sinner, but I quit being accountable for my sins, because they were all laid on Jesus when he went to the cross, and he paid the price for every single one of them. You might say, well, how about the ones you're going to commit tomorrow and the ones after that? Hey, when he died on the cross, all my sins were in the future, just like yours were. I hadn't committed any sins before Jesus died. He was paying proactively for all of the sins that I would commit. He was paying proactively for all the sins that you commit. And if you're here today and you've asked Jesus to be your Savior and you've received him and he's received you into the family of God, you are a miracle this morning. You are a demonstration of the power of God to work a miracle in your life. If you're here today and you don't know Christ, you're a miracle waiting to happen. If you're here today and you've never received Jesus Christ as your Savior, the same power that he used to save me is the same power he wants to use to save you. And all he wants you to do is just come and take it. The Bible says we're all sinners. There's none righteous, no, not one, for all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. The Bible says there's a penalty for that sin, for the wages of sin is death. But the Bible also says that God loved us. And he commended or proved his love toward us in that while we were yet sinners, not when we were good, not after we turned over a new leaf, not after we started coming to church, not after we cleaned up our act, when we were yet sinners, when we were separated from God, when our sin separated us from the goodness and righteousness of God, when our sin drove him away from us, he proved his love toward us in that he sent his only begotten Son to die for us. And my dear friend, every sin was heaped on Jesus on Calvary. And he paid for every single one of them. That's why the Bible can say, but the gift of God, the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. Whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. But as many as received him, to them gave he power to become the sons of God, even to them that believe on his name. Have you done that this morning? If you have, you're a miracle. If you haven't, you can be. Number five, I believe in the miracle of God's provision. I believe in the miracle of God giving us exactly what we need. In Philippians chapter 4:19, the Bible says, "But my God shall supply all your need according to his riches in glory by Christ Jesus." Listen to me. Listen. There's not a thing going on in your life this morning that God doesn't know about. Not a thing. Not the smallest detail of your life is a secret to God. He knows everything. He knows things that are going on in your life that you don't completely understand yourself yet. He knows how that makes you feel. He knows those times when we want to give up. He knows those times when we forget what kind of God he is. He knows those times. And during those times, he gives us exactly what we need. I could start over here, and I could go across the auditorium. And if we had time this morning, I would have people stand who know exactly what I'm talking about. How in the midst of trial and heartache, when there were days you got up and you said, "I don't know how I can make it to the end of the day. I just don't know how I can make it to the end of the day." God came and a miracle working way provided what they needed to get them through the next minute, the next hour, the next day. I told my friend Tuesday night, I said, "You go back and tell your mom that she's not by herself. You go back and tell your mom," and by the way, she has six boys, and I like that they have a schedule. She ain't by herself at all. I mean, she ain't never by herself. I said, "But you go back and you tell your mom, hey, in addition to these boys and to these daughter-in-laws and to these 18 grandkids and to these five great-grandkids, you go back and tell your mom that there's a God in heaven that watches over her. And every moment of every day, he will give her what she needs." She will. God will do it. I believe in the miracle of his provision. And then number six, I believe in the miracle of God's healing. Say, "Preacher, you think God heals people today?" I do. I do. I do. In fact, let me just read a couple verses from John for you. John chapter 14. This is Jesus talking. He said this, "Verily, verily, I say unto you, he that believeth on me, the works that I do shall he do also, and greater works than these shall he do, because I go unto my Father. And whatsoever ye shall ask in my name, that will I do, that the Father may be glorified in the Son. If ye shall ask anything in my name, I will do it." In John chapter 14, Jesus was talking to his disciples about going back to heaven. That chapter starts out, "In my Father's house are many mansions. I go to prepare a place for you. If I go to prepare a place for you, I will come again and receive you unto myself, that where I am, ye may be also." And he talked to him about the way to heaven. Verse 6 of that chapter, he said, "I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh to the Father but by me." And then he goes on in the chapter about talking about how when he goes to heaven, when he goes home to the Father, that he's going to send the Holy Spirit back. And the Holy Spirit is going to be their helper and their encourager. And in the verses we read, that it's in that context. He says, "I'm going back to my Father. And the works that you've seen me do, he that believeth in me shall do greater works than these. Because I'm back at my Father. I'm going to be standing or sitting at his right side. And when you ask anything in my name, believing in me, I will do it." Now some of you might say, "Well, That sounds kind of spooky. Do you really believe that? I do. I do. I've seen too many times where God has answered our prayer for healing. There's been too many people that have stood here or back in my office or in their homes that we've anointed with oil and formed a circle around and prayed that are still here today that the doctors say they should have been gone a long, long time ago. Shouldn't be here. They're here because God works miracles. God answers prayers. God does through Jesus. Again, notice the reason. Notice the purpose so that the Father can be glorified. That's the purpose of every miracle. So that the Father can be glorified. I believe in the miracle of healing. Now, if you're here today and you've never received Jesus Christ as your Savior, would you trust me enough to try Him? Maybe you're here today and you say, boy, I don't know about this stuff. I don't see how it works. I don't see why God would love me enough to die in my place or send Jesus to die in my place. I'll be honest with you. I don't understand it either. I don't understand why a perfect, sinless Son of God would heap on Himself my sins and die in my place. I don't understand it. It has to come down to love. Pure love. Nothing else. I didn't deserve it. I can't pay Him back. It had to be an act of love. And that same love that He showed toward me, He showed toward every single person in the world. For God so loved the world. So loved the world. So loved the world. So loved you. And so loved me that He gave His only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in Him should not perish, but have everlasting life. Would you believe in Him this morning? Would you trust Him? Let's pray together. Father, thank You for that love. Thank You for reminding us so many times this morning about it. You reminded us.